Please be seated. I drove to Long Beach, Mississippi, a few days after Hurricane Katrina hit in 2005. One of my best friends in seminary was the headmaster of Coast Episcopal School in Long Beach, and the town was pretty much destroyed by the hurricane, and my friend's own home was destroyed. But somehow Coast Episcopal School wasn't, and it became a major relief center in that area. I was able to find out through email that my friend and his family had evacuated, but they had returned by that time to Long Beach, doing what they could there at the school. I knew that there had already been a tremendous outpouring in that area, but when I contacted my friend, I wanted to know if there was something in particular that I could bring to them, something the other relief efforts hadn't addressed. And he gave me a list, and it was actually quite interesting. He wanted new socks and underwear of all sizes. People were donating tons of clothes, but nobody really wants someone else's donated underwear, and that makes sense. I just wouldn't have thought of that. And my parish in Alabama immediately started an underwear drive. He also mentioned cash. The school had money. They just couldn't access it. The banks and the computer systems were destroyed. I really hadn't thought about that either. And again, my parish in Alabama came through tremendously. He also needed baby formula. And he mentioned that if he could have tanks of propane gas, like you use for a grill, that he could feed so many people. The victims there, as well as the relief workers, he could feed them right there at the school. So we started gathering propane tanks, probably totally illegal to transport in a U-Haul, and probably not the wisest decision that I've ever made, but that's what they needed. Andy also mentioned that a case of beer wouldn't hurt. My parish, actually, the whole community gathered up all this stuff, and we loaded it into a U-Haul, and a parishioner and I started out for the coast at 4 o'clock early one morning. Now, I'd never been to Long Beach, but I'd printed out directions from MapQuest. Yet when we got off the Long Beach exit, we literally pulled the truck over to the side of the road and just looked at each other. First of all, the devastation, of course, was unbelievable. But secondly, and more importantly to us at that time, was we didn't know where to go. We had good directions. But the thing that we hadn't considered was the fact that there were no street signs. They'd all been blown away. And for the most part, you really couldn't even tell where the streets were. And it's pretty much impossible to tell where you want to go when you don't know where you are, no matter how good the directions. So we just wandered. We drove around and over rubble and down power lines with a truck full of propane. Again, not one of my brightest decisions, until we saw a handwritten cardboard sign that said Relief Center and an arrow, which we followed, and eventually we were led to the school. Now, I thought about this story after watching the coverage this week of the tragedies in Oklahoma, when I heard someone on the news complaining. They were complaining that the city was, one of the first things the city did after the tornadoes was begin to replace the street signs, and they felt like that was a misplaced priority. But having experienced something similar, I understood completely why they were doing that. I understood how important it is to be able to know where you are. You simply cannot get where you're going until you know where you are. And believe it or not, that brings me to today's gospel lesson and this day that we call Trinity Sunday. Now, you'll be very happy to know that I have no intention of preaching about the Trinity this morning. I gave that up years ago. The doctrine of the Trinity is simply too big for a sermon, and the truth is we can't adequately explain it anyway. But we can explore it. And instead of trying to pull it apart like so many preachers do in an attempt to see how it works, I think we're better served if we just leave it intact and try to decide what the Trinity has to say about us today, now, about our personal faith and our life together as children of God. If we do that, though, that means that our faith journey has to be more than just using a book, using Holy Scripture as a roadmap for our lives. That won't get us where we're going. It means that God has to be more than just that big guy upstairs giving direction and making rules and dispensing judgment. It means that God has to be more than living our lives with that metaphorical "what would Jesus do" bracelet on our arms. And it means more than just being spirit-filled disciples, a concept I'm afraid has been co-opted by the tongue-speaking, faith-healing types, or today's spiritual but not religious types, who wait for feeling or circumstances to guide them in their daily lives. But you see, I think we need that all. I think we need all of that to figure out our path. And to be who God intends us to be. And that for me is the Trinity. It's the Trinity. It's a healthy balance in our view of God. I read an article this week that maintained that most of us, most of the time, are really closet Unitarians. That is to say that while we might affirm the doctrine of one God in three persons, for all practical purposes, we do gravitate to one of the three persons of the Trinity as our favored understanding of godness. And I think there's probably a lot of truth in that. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all authentic ways to experience God. But none of them is complete in itself. And like I learned in Long Beach, Mississippi, it's so vitally important to know where you are before you can tell where you're going. And the Trinity really is our map. You see, sometimes I need the big God. I need God the Creator, the God beyond my understanding, greater than what I can know or comprehend, who reminds me of the gift of creation and that it is good and a whole lot bigger than anything that I might confront. I need that God who makes a lot of promises but actually keeps them. But sometimes I need God the Redeemer, who lived among us in the person of Jesus Christ, the Savior whose life gives us direction, who dared to question what was with the hope of what can be, who said, "Love one another," over and over and over again, and said that was more important than anything else. I need that healer, that comforter, that doubter, that broken one. And sometimes, probably most times, I need God the sustainer, the Spirit of God who over and over again helps me figure out not only where I am, but where I need to go. The advocate that Jesus promised, because as he told his disciples, there's so much more to learn. And for any of this to matter, for any of it to matter, the story of God cannot be over at the conclusion of a sacred book. Can I explain all of this theologically? Well, I can recite what I've been taught. But as disciples today, I don't think for a minute that it's necessary for all of us to understand God in the same way. But it is important. It is important that we share our understandings so that we can learn and benefit from each other's understandings. That's what it means to tell the story. And as a church, we need that. We need each other. We need those with a deep reverence for that Creator God, for the Our Father who art in heaven God. We need those who are head over heels in love with Jesus. And we need those whose souls are in tune with that breezy wind of the Spirit. Only then can we live fully as God's people in this place and this time. And in order to find our way through this thing called life, we all need a good map. Sometimes we need that map to be pretty elaborate and detailed. But most of the time, that's too much, a little too confusing. Most of the time, we just need a very simple map, something that gives us the lay of the land and shows us where we are so we can navigate our way to where we want to go. The Holy Trinity, whether you understand it or not, is that kind of map. It reminds us that we are all children of God, all of us, and that we were created with purpose and promise. It reminds us of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ and what we're called to do for others in his name. And it promises that as we go, we are never, ever, ever alone. But maybe most importantly, it's the promise that on this incredible journey we call life, we will eventually get where we want to go. God love you. Amen.